Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously.
Yeah, that's about right.
I think I'll just let you kind of take it from there from now on. That sound cool? I feel like I put a lot of work into like really fine tuning the intro, and you just and continue it. I've done sometimes. you could add something. Like, are you interested in doing like a thing?
Oh, like the end of the Simpsons intro each time? Like, there's like little,
it could be that. Yeah, sure.
Like milestones different, little along different, the way that are different time.
We'd be like, oh, that's the episode where Patrick took his pants off. Right. Excuse me.
I'm so sorry. You're getting really allergic
to the idea of you getting naked. I'm sorry. And again, Jeremy's still out of town, so I doubt that's getting edited.
Oh, join the club. No.
Okay, good. We are back. It's as the listener flies. Of course, it's 1 week after our last episode. However, Patrick and I are recording two in a row. And
I'm half-heartedly looking at the calendar like, as the listener flies, it's a week later. Whatever the fuck. I don't know.
I can't even. I think we've already demonstrated that we cannot understand calendars. So we made that pretty clear last episode, I think. So it feels safe to just say, hey, you're a week after this, and we're not. We're tonight still.
Pretty late tonight, I would say.
However, I would say, now that I am in the Eastern time zone, I am a little, I'm very cognizant of the fact that normally we'll start, as far as I'm concerned, an hour later than normal.
Right.
However, tonight, you suggested we started an hour earlier, which I'm very grateful for.
Yeah.
And can I ask, what's everything okay at home?
Everybody in my house is being so annoying. I figured if we're gonna do two episodes tonight, probably want to start as early as possible.
Now, is Amy cool with this plan, or am I gonna get like some passive aggressive texts soon?
No, anytime I'm like, hey, I'm gonna go down in the basement for a couple hours. I see her kind of get a little.
Yeah.
A little smile so on
might,
her face.
I might, yeah. My phone might go a little bing. A little bing, huh? That's fine. is there anything that we need to cover before
any housekeeping? Dive in? Oh, yeah. Lots of stuff. No, I was bluffing.
We all knew that.
Nothing at all.
That's what I will remind everyone is Jeremy is still out of town. So I am still editing, which means we're not editing. Yeah. Very busy. So what we record is probably about what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Apologies for that in advance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like a live album. You know,
it is like a live album.
This is Clayton and Patrick B-side. Unplugged in New York. Or, you know, unplugged in.
We would dream for New York. Unplugged in small town Virginia and slightly less small town Missouri.
Mm-hmm. But still basements in both locations.
Excuse me. I am on the second floor of this townhouse.
What? Oh, my gosh.
Now, if I showed you my window view here, it's of a wall of grass.
Another townhouse. Yeah.
Yeah. You go the other way. If this was on the other side of the house, you would see mountains and stuff. It's very pretty. I can't prove it, but just you'll take my word for it.
You nice. Should see the view out of my second floor half bath. It is just, it's jaw dropping, really.
The trailer out there is wonderful.
Mm.
And sometimes when the man of the house wears a shirt when he sits in his chair and drinks his Bud Light, it's wonderful to see how many ways there are to style shirts without sleeves. It's really something. it's really great.
I started just wear shirts without the right sleeve because I feel that's the one that gets in the way the most. Left sleeve,
left sleeve, you got to stay warm in that shoulder.
Yeah.
The right one's always warm, always ready to go, always ready.
It's always very active in this house.
Well, we shouldn't explore that any further. So I guess we're just ready to dive in now, but I will give the normal caveat of a two episode night for us, which is we are certainly not more sober than we started off tonight, an hour ago, or as listener flies a week ago.
It's kind of like when you jump off a diving board and you're like the first, 5 feet, you're like accelerating And then for the, you know, the second 5 feet, you're already going really, really fast. So we fell off the diving board ass backwards last week.
Yeah. We didn't jump. We didn't do a thing. Yeah. We did fall. And now we're at critical velocity.
Critical, sure.
Max velocity. What's it called? There's a real word for it. That's terminal velocity.
Terminal velocity.
Yeah. And here we go. You can already tell it's going great.
Did you get the buttons figured out?
Damn.
Nope.
Is that not right? All right. Okay. Ready for a ghost story?
I am.
Ding. Ding.
Ding.
Dong.
Something about it I really like. It's got something. Prisons were not very good in the 18th century.
Well, hang on.
Okay.
There's two sides to every story there.
Go on.
You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that did not like being in prison in the 18th century. Yeah. But I'm sure the people that worked in those prisons had a lovely time.
I don't think they did.
I think they had a great time. I think that's I think that's what you retire to as a peace officer.
It's actually, it's interesting because I always thought I'm obviously a full-time teacher now, mm-hmm. college professor. I always thought that's how I would retire.
Mm-hmm. To become a correctional officer? I'm sorry.
To become a college professor. Oh, actually, there's some similarities you can draw between college professor and corrections officer. So suddenly it makes a lot of sense. Anyway, so prisons were bad. There was probably no better example of how bad they were than the Walnut Street Jail. Do you want to even take a guess? When did the Walnut Street Jail open? 1776. Wow.
Huh. Interesting.
Later than I thought, actually.
Okay.
But okay, go ahead.
Walnut Street Jail, I'm going to guess Boston, Mass.
I mean, close, but how could you not be?
Yeah.
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Okay. Hmm? I assume the first people they locked up were all the revelers, the 1776 revelers.
I'm sorry. You're signing a what of independence? No. Please come this way. This is a quote from Smithsonian Magazine. Men and women, adults and children, thieves and murderers were jailed together in disease-ridden, dirty pens where rape and robbery were common occurrences.
Hmm.
Jailers made little effort to protect the prisoners from each other. Instead, they sold the prisoners alcohol, up to nearly 20 gallons of it a day.
Oh.
So that's bad. It's not good. It's not good. That's what prison was like then. Mm-hmm. Prisoners would die from the cold. Mm-hmm. They would die from starvation, mm-hmm. which feels, I mean, both of those things, like, don't know, that shouldn't happen. That's easy, I think, to not let happen. So it's a bad scene. Now, there were plenty of people at this time who were appalled by this, especially because, like, so this opens in 1776.
Mm-hmm.
That is obviously quite famously when Jefferson and his friends write the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
country's on a bit of a high, arguably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
I would say so. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, looking at the way they wrote some of these documents from, hindsight, we have the benefit of hindsight, but I guess, okay. As far as they knew, it was a high. Yeah. Good. Good times. High rolling, good times. So in that Declaration of Independence, quite famously, there was a bit about all men being equal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No, they didn't. I don't think they believed that, really.
there's like seven asterisks after that. And I'm like, that's
not women. Yeah. Certainly not anyone not white. Some people are 3/5 equal, but, you know. And that is the one of the documents that we still refer to today when we think about Supreme Court justices making decisions about stuff. Anyway, so the Walnut Street Jail was it's not a place where they treated people with dignity. Mm-hmm. They were not treated as humans. And it was located directly behind Independence Hall, where the Declaration was signed. And so people started thinking, like, I don't think our prisons are doing a good job of doing the thing that we say we do. Mm-hmm. I don't like this a lot.
Okay.
Just kind of sitting there. Are you okay? You want to talk about state of life in this era or anything?
Sounds pretty shitty, I'll be honest.
We must have seen the Independence Hall when we were in Philadelphia.
We saw the bell.
Outside of the bell, through the plexiglass.
Is it close, the same place? Yeah. Look like it was like a library or something.
We should know the answer to this question. No.
We're from here, guys. We're from this country, but we really don't know where the bell is.
And to prove it, we will say we have no idea where the fucking bell is. Because we don't have to know. So in 1787, a group of folks in Philadelphia get together near the jail. And they're like, look, this is not great. This whole prison situation is pretty bad, actually.
Yeah. And the alcohol is getting very expensive. I really don't think.
we gotta save that budget. We have to change the way we approach incarceration. Mm-hmm. So they decide to do that.
Mm-hmm. So they invent now, the death penalty. But the pause after I said that is like,
what I will say is the death penalty was already in existence in England. They would do a lot of death. The pause was mostly because I don't think the death penalty would not have been a better thing to do. We'll get there. We'll just get there. It's a journey. So they're like, we can do a better job. I see. Is that Lewis?
This is Lewis. Yeah. Hi, Lewis. He was chewing on all the cords. So I'm punishing him.
He's so big now.
Mm-hmm. He's a big boy. Look.
Hey, folks, if you're not watching the YouTube version of this, oh my God, Pat is holding him up like a comma, and he is just so big. He can't even fit on the screen.
He's like my French girl.
I'm sorry. He's what?
He's like my French girl. He's just reclining and relaxing.
Like a French girl does?
Like a French girl.
You can send questions about that comment to patrick@gmail.com. So these folks are like, we have to change the way that we approach incarceration. We have to we can't keep punishing people. We can't keep putting like men, women, and children together in these terrible situations. Yeah. And we have to fix this and make it better.
Yeah. The loss of freedom is the punishment, not like literal punishment. On top of this.
Sure. So this is Pennsylvania, of course. So the people who were making this decision were all Quakers. Mm-hmm. So the solution is going to be pretty cool. So this group calls themselves the Philadelphia Society for Alleviating the Miseries of Public Prisoners. I wrote it down for you. It's PSAMP. They were not as concerned with acronyms back then, I guess. As we are now.
They rushed it. They could have gotten so much better with that.
Oh man, PSAMP is so bad. Now, one of the leading voices of PSAMP was a man named Dr. Benjamin Rush. Now, he's pretty popular. He's pretty famous. He's known, often known as the father of American psychiatry. So buckle up.
Okay.
He also was a signer of the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, okay.
So he's a big deal. He was truly, and for his time, mm-hmm. he was viewed as a very intelligent man.
Absolutely.
Yeah. His time was the 1700s.
Yeah.
So let's see how this goes.
So the scale shifted a little bit over the years, but it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here come the lobotomies.
So... Rush and the other members of PSAMP truly have like a pretty radical and progressive approach to incarceration. Their thought was, rather than punish criminals, you should try to cure them of criminality.
Of crime. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Sure. Again, this is mm-hmm. 1787 mm-hmm. or whatever. So Rush mm-hmm. thought that crime was a moral disease.
Right. And it's located in this part of the brain.
The moral part of the brain.
Right, yeah, yes. Exactly. So, yeah. I get a small instrument. Right. The silence is making me very, very uncomfortable about where this is going.
Yeah, I just don't want to spoil anything. So he thinks crime's a moral disease, and he thinks that he can cure prisoners, cure criminals, basically, by giving them, quote, a house of repentance, where prisoners can meditate on their crimes, experience spiritual remorse, and undergo rehabilitation.
Ooh, it's very Scandinavian. Okay, that's fine.
Is it?
It kind of is. Yeah.
I don't know anything about that.
Well, we'll get into that later.
Can you speak to us at length about what the Scandinavians think about reform? What I will say to you, I don't want to spoil anything. There's no lobotomy in this whole story.
Okay.
I did not read about a single lobotomy in this person. So I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But what I am telling you is this was so radical. They were like, no lobotomies. We can just cure people if they feel bad about what they did.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So penance. We want them to feel penitent. Mm-hmm. And this is where we get the term penitentiary.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. This did not exist as a term for prisons or probably at all until they decided to do this in Philadelphia. So penitentiary, you'll go there, you'll reflect, you'll realize naturally what you've done wrong.
Right.
You'll pray, of course. Mm-hmm. God will guide you.
Right.
And once you realize, oh no, I've done a bad thing, you will be cured of your moral disease.
Sure. I would say if somebody asked me, if somebody gave me maybe three chances to guess which U.S. city invented the penitentiary, I probably would have got Philadelphia on the first guess. I really would have.
Seems right. Seems right. Seems just, right. They've got a battery room where they just like store all the evidence. Yeah, it does make a whole lot of sense. So they start to make changes at the Walnut Street Jail. But it's not too long before they're like, this is not going to work. We need a whole new building.
Right, yeah. Everyone being in one pit is not helping with the penitence.
Correct,
right.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And more than you know, because they thought that in order for these prisoners to actually feel like truly like penitent, they needed time and space to reflect quietly and alone. Yep. So the thought is, in order to do this work, every single prisoner very obviously must be completely isolated from every other human being, not just from every other prisoner, but every other human being. They must spend their time in, gosh, what's a word for it? They must in solitary isolation, solitary. They must be confined to some solitary situation.
Right.
And that's how they will sit with the Lord. And think about their crimes, and they will find they would like to repent.
And at what point do they get to choose lobotomy?
We'll read about some things. Again, that specific doesn't come up, but boy.
Oh, man. So Philadelphia's on the cutting edge of torturing people to death is what it sounds like to me.
Well, you're spoiling a little bit, but what I will say is that at the time, I mean, this truly was the idea behind it was revolutionary. And actually, I think pretty good, actually, like we should give place, like don't punish them, give them resources they need to kind of reflect and think about and kind of, you know, separate themselves from what they've done. And to me, actually, that actually sounds good. Like, you know, not ideal, but it's a good step. However, execution is so important, and I want to talk about that a lot.
Execution can come up a lot in this story, actually. So
boy, you're not wrong. So the thought was, in order to actually do this and for this to work, every single prisoner had to be completely isolated from every other person on earth, and that was never going to happen. In this little Walnut Street jail is very overcrowded. Like you can't separate people there.
Right.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
And again, that was a bad scene. Like that's very bad there. So it's good to shut that down. They get the okay to build a new prison. nearby, just a few blocks away.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a whole blank canvas upon which to construct their dream experiment for how criminals should be reformed. And they're like, well, what should this prison look like? You know, we want to really think about this. And they hold a drop my pen. They hold a design competition.
Oh, like the Bodie McBoatface thing.
Mm-hmm. Ends up being quite similar in some ways.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is early crowdsourcing. So they hold a competition, and the winning design comes from a British-born architect named John Haviland. And I'll show you this design in a second here. It was truly, I mean, no joke, it was a groundbreaking design. We'll talk about why. I'll share this photo first. So this is it. As you can see, it's a big rectangle, basically, but it's a spoke. And so you, sure, Patrick Dean, mm-hmm, who have, as of last Halloween, I believe, mm-hmm, talked about a Panopticon-style prison.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
You love, you love a situation where you can see a lot of prisoners at once. This is kind of the opposite, mm-hmm, of that, like the inverse, right, of a Panopticon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is much more similar to the way they feed cattle. Extremely similar to the way that cattle are fed, actually.
Oh, God, I didn't think about that, but that's correct. It is very similar. Do you want to explain or describe to our listeners what you're seeing?
I'm seeing a large rectangle perimeter for the entire facility.
Very high walls.
Extremely high walls, maybe, you know, 30, 40 foot high walls.
And some garden towers in the corners and stuff, yeah.
And then in the center of it, sort of a main, you know, tower again. But coming out from that main tower in the center are eight spokes that come out in eight different directions. And each spoke has what looks like maybe 30 or 40 stalls coming off of it, which I assume is a solitary confinement.
Now, there's one on each side. So each one really has like 60 or 80.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah. I did not see. Yeah. So each side is doubled up. There's some sort of hallway in between them. But yeah, it seems like a really easy way to torture several hundred people.
Well, boy, you have no idea. We'll get there soon. And this is often described as a wagon wheel design, which makes that does a lot make of sense.
Yes,
and
wagon wheel.
Mm-hmm. If you had a wheel that was a rectangle, this would be it.
Like the shittiest wheel, like just the absolute shittiest wheel you can make.
Very shitty wheel. Whenever they're like, oh yeah, this is great. Yeah. This is we're disrupting the wheel industry. So we'll talk about design and what they had in here, because in so many ways, again, like it's actually very forward thinking, and the building is very modern. I'll talk about the specifics in a second, but
yeah,
also it was kind of interesting. So these spokes, you can see all these little rooms, and if you're not watching the YouTube, you should check out the YouTube version of the show. If you don't want to do that, just you can go Google search Eastern State Penitentiary, and you'll see photos of this. But so the deal was, when you let a prisoner into their cell, you wouldn't walk them through the hallway into their cell, because then they might kind of get familiar with other cells, like how many other cells there were and like, sure, who was there.
Yeah.
So you would actually walk them through the courtyard.
Oh, so at no point
into the cell from the outside.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
And so they had no, you know, so that was the whole thing. And so it's in so many ways that you wouldn't expect. It's a really fucked up kind of way to treat people.
This will be one of those things where we make a lot of psychological discoveries from torturing a lot of people to death, isn't it?
I don't know. Let's find out. So this is a very advanced structure. So it has indoor bathrooms. It has indoor showers.
Okay.
It has central heat.
I mean, this sounds luxurious.
It has all these things before the White House does.
Ooh.
So they are, I mean, and again, like these people who are building it, like they truly think they are doing a really good thing for people.
Absolutely.
Like they yep, believe it fully, and they try to accommodate in the best ways they can. Like it's a very advanced building of torture. The halls themselves were designed like a church, and there are like crosses cut into the gates and things.
Right.
And so if you walk through the halls, you feel, you know, in a sense, like you are walking through a vestibule of a church. And the doorways to the cells were made purposefully small so the prisoners would have to bow to enter.
Mm, okay.
Which would very obviously make them feel more naturally penitent. Each cell had its tiny exercise yard, like a private exercise yard. So you walked in, like I said, from the courtyard, you would walk in. There was like a little rectangle of exercise yard, quote unquote, with skylights, but a high, you know, it was all walled in, and that led into your cell. So you did get kind of your own green space.
Sure.
You could use that to grow plants if you wanted. They also apparently allowed pets.
Wow. Okay.
So I, like, you know, and I don't know if there was a restriction on that or not, but
yeah,
it seems okay. so people are like, this is it. This is how we will like, well, you know, people can like walk into their own space. They have their own chamber. It's really great. It's really great.
Yeah.
And if you have any questions, go ahead.
And how, do you know how big the, like the living chamber area is?
I'll show you some photos later.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Great question.
Yeah. Now, my last question to you.
I doubt it, but go ahead.
Considering the size of the living chamber, which I haven't seen yet.
Yep.
Size of the living chamber, the private courtyard you have for yourself, right? Yeah. The ability. How much would one of these units cost you in New York City today?
I mean, come on.
I mean, Philadelphia is a very nice city as well.
Yeah. But you're right. You're right.
In New Manhattan, I mean, you know.
Well, okay. Let's say it's detached from a prison.
Right. Yeah. No, right. Even then, attached to other identical units.
I need. It's very different. attached to the, like, is this an apartment building in New York or is this like a prison in New York?
I mean, I don't really know what the difference would be. I don't know what the difference would be. I've been to New York.
All right. I would say, gosh, let me look at my photos real quick. Okay. I feel comfortable saying that if your room, plus green space.
Right. Private green space.
Private green space with skylights, because we did have those, was available in, let's say, in Manhattan.
Right.
Specifically.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I would say, which is going to sound like a lot, but it's not. I would say $1,700 a month.
Oh, bullshit. Absolutely not. No. This is closer to three. I'm going to say closer to three. Private green space? Really? Do you know
one of us has seen pictures and one is not. Okay, go ahead.
In Manhattan, people like grow herbs out of like cut in half soda cans on their windowsill. This is $3,000. I'm maybe $3,200.
All right.
Okay.
I'm willing to go higher.
But I do need to see the photo of the room.
I don't think
first.
$3,000. Yeah, I don't feel good about that. Fair.
Can you sleep in the green space? The green space sounds nice. I would just hang out there, frankly. I'm sorry. I'm clearly advocating
for the solitary confinement. I'm looking at the photos. Let's have this conversation again when you've seen the photos, because part of the thing, you know, and one of the really fun things about a lot of New York apartments is, I think, you know, is like sometimes your shower is your kitchen.
Uh-huh. Yep. Absolutely.
Which is the weirdest fucking shit. And people who have never been to New York may be like, oh, it's a joke. It's not a joke.
Yeah.
Sometimes your shower is in your kitchen because that's the only place the plumbing goes.
Sure. Yeah.
Sometimes you have like a shower curtain in your fucking kitchen.
Now, like you live in the airport bathroom, like the airplane bathroom.
And that space, $3,000 a month, of course, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I would say 23. All right, I'll go 23. Okay. I just don't. We'll see.
Yeah. I am also coming from a place that just drove 14 hours straight in a minivan with four other people.
Were you on vacation?
That wanted to watch four different shows on the overhead DVD player. So a little bit of R&R in my own private green space is sounding.
How much would you pay to be locked in a very small cell with a bit of green space?
I'm going to say it's north of 3,000.
No one could reach you or talk to you if they wanted to.
Yeah. I don't know whether I could outlive these bones. in that place right now.
Is this is a potential business idea for us. Cells for dads who just need like one fucking minute, you know?
Seriously, just
okay, we're going to circle back to this because I feel like there might be something here. Where are we? So, blah, blah, before the White House. Yeah, so the halls are church, said that. Each cell, there, yes, its own tiny, said that, exercise yard. Eastern State Penitentiary, then, this prison, receives its first prisoner on October 23rd, 1829. Mm-hmm. That's a really long time ago.
Yeah. Now, that is solitary confinement there. If you're the only guy in the whole place.
It doesn't get more solitary. That's true.
And I can't use the yard right next to mine, right? No?
Still?
Okay, that's fine.
But there's no one here, right? I could. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just asking.
I'm trying to plant zucchinis, and I want to plan a little bit. But no? Okay, that's fine.
No, okay. He was in here for theft. He was going to be here for 2 years.
2 years in solitary for stealing anything.
I don't think I know what he stole, but like it doesn't feel like it matters much.
It's not the Declaration of Independence or anything. It's not.
He's no Nicolas Cage. Yeah. So he goes in. So when he goes in, like this prison is already like a big tourist attraction. Like people are just like, they're so excited about a prison that will finally like treat people like humans.
Yeah. Finally fix people. Repent. Finally fix all the people.
We've
that are
figured
constantly
out.
Killing all of us.
Yes. Who are constantly killing all of us and then doing so also in these prisons where we are all just thrown together.
Right.
So this is great. Everyone's amazed by how incredible this new prison is, and they are really jazzed about how good this is going to be for the rehabilitation of criminals. Mm-hmm. This is an excitement that lasts for about 7 seconds because the first prisoner... to enter. Charles Williams. So he gets 2 years theft. They let him into the prison. They put a hood over his head.
Oh, okay.
Now, they said this was so no one would recognize him after his release. Mm. Now, that's a tell because there's no one else in the prison to recognize him. So, like, you could do that, I guess, like, outside the prison. Yep. There's a lot of press. People who are like, oh, my God, first prisoner. Yeah. But, like, once you get inside... Mm-hmm. That's nothing.
Yeah.
Like you. Yeah. There's no one to recognize him. Their stated goal here was to use hoods so that no other prisoners could say later when they were released, like, oh, that guy was in prison.
Sure. Yeah.
Fine. Okay.
I guess. But like, but the secondary effect is you don't see any of the people like the guards, the support staff or anything like that, that are in there either.
Yes, and so also
no human contact.
There was no, you didn't see how you went into the prison or to your cell.
Okay.
So it makes it very hard to escape.
Okay, sure.
So not only did he not see the path he took from the door, he didn't see like the layout, didn't see the building, didn't see the courtyard. Mm-hmm. He didn't see anything. They took him through the courtyard, into his room, they pushed him in, took the hood off his head, locked him in, and he's in his cell. So that's the first thing he saw. And when I tell you these are designed for isolation, these cells, there were not even bars to look out into the hallway.
Ooh, okay.
It's a door with a small hole, which guards would use to feed you.
Right. Yeah.
And put, you know, your food dish.
Yeah, your filet mignon, your, you know,
I think
peas.
That's what they were.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's how they would communicate to the guards is through this. So, like, You get arrested, you wake up in this room, and that is your room for your entire time. And you are utterly alone, which is kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And the Quakers are like, this is what's necessary to fix people. But some other folks were not so sure about this plan. Like, once they open up, some people are like, I don't think this is good where every cell is what we now know is solitary confinement. One of those folks was a man named Charles Dickens, who visited the prison on a trip to the U.S. in 1842. And Dickens knows a thing or two about, oppressed people.
Sure. Of course.
I think it's fair to say. He wrote, quote, "I am persuaded that those who designed this system do not know what it is they are doing. I hold the slow and daily tampering with the mysteries of the brain to be immeasurably worse than any torture of the body."
Ooh.
Of the prisoners themselves, he said, "A prisoner is a man buried alive to be dug out in the slow round of years and in the meantime dead to everything but torturing anxieties and horrible despair."
Mm-hmm.
Which does sound, that sounds mm-hmm. pretty accurate.
Yeah, they're not going to put that one on the brochure. I'm like, you know, so. Charles, I appreciate it. I really do.
We're so grateful. We love your books.
You can keep the tote bag. It's totally fine. And the water bottle. It's very, very nice. But we're not going to use the quote on the brochure after all. Very sorry.
Please don't tell people about this. Yeah. Please don't. Please. Please. Can you send this NDA? It would be great if you would. No, you. Oh, God. Ooh. Ooh, love to get you to sign this NDA. Is
You're there anything not do, like a or? Writer or something, are you? You're not going to tell people?
So it's pretty bad by 19. Oh, I should say, Alexis de Tocqueville, who is, if you've listened to Hamilton,
of course, you've heard, I am familiar with
his name. If you listen to, Bloody Andrew Jackson, you've also heard his name. Mm-hmm. He loved it. He thought it was great. I don't know about Alexis de Tocqueville,
so,
but
you know, little, like a, little both.
So I just want to be
column
fair.
A, column B. Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway, so, it's not good by 1913, like 90 years after they opened. Everyone finally was like, I think we have to admit this is not working. Like, the people are not getting better, and it's just kind of, it's just kind of brutal and terrible. Mm-hmm.
Are people not coming out reformed?
No,
really?
No, I know, it's surprising to hear.
Every person actually comes out as fucking Bane. It's very unfortunate, really. A lot of Banes on the streets of Philadelphia.
We're going to need to fix this city. And people are like, yeah, this isn't, I don't think this is working. So we should stop this. And the group, you know, whoever was in charge of the prison at this point, they got together and they said, you're right. This is not working. We should stop this. Let's stop trying to be humane.
Right.
Let's just lean in to what we can do best, which is isolation and torture. And so, any questions?
No, I mean, what wasn't working that is not?
They abandoned the idea of penance and isolation, and they started jamming people into the cells en masse.
Okay. Like, more than one dude per cell?
We'll get to numbers in a second.
I don't want to get too specific.
It's not great. But before we do that, let's see. I have a fun fact.
Wham!
Yes! They even held a dog prisoner for life in...
What?
In 1924, the governor of Pennsylvania sentenced a dog, a literal dog, named Pep, to life, to a life sentence at Eastern State Penitentiary.
Oh my gosh.
For murdering his wife's cat. And his wife loved her cat.
I'm sorry.
Please, yeah, go ahead.
The dog had a wife?
Oh, sorry. No.
Very confused.
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
The dog had a wife and the dog's wife had a cat, of all things? I mean, I'll be honest.
I can't speak to that. I'm sorry. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm on the dog's side here.
The governor had a wife, and the dog supposedly killed the governor's wife's favorite cat.
Okay.
And therefore, the governor sentenced Pep to a life sentence, and Pep was assigned an inmate number.
Mm-hmm.
He also has a mugshot.
Yeah.
Would you like to see Pep's mugshot?
I'm still amazed that this guy from the, you know, early 1900s is more humane than Christy Noem. That's still...
Boy, that is something, isn't it? Maybe there were no pits around to, you know, dump dead bodies in. So here is...
I would love to see his dog's mugshot. I am on pins and needles.
There you go.
That poor guy.
That's a good boy. That's a good boy for sure.
It's a good boy. It's a little out of focus, unfortunately. I wonder if he was moving.
This was 1924, so I don't think they had...
great pet photography.
It's not great. Yeah. 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 This is our good boy.
Oh, I stand by him.
And he did serve out his entire life sentence.
Now, they didn't make the dog go in solitary, did they?
I don't, it seems like they let the dog kind of wander around.
Okay. Yeah.
And there are some people, I should say, to be fair, who say like, it was the governor's dog who's like, let's give the dog to the prison to make the people happier. Now,
right.
That seems like a nice story for sure. It doesn't seem like the kind of place where they were thinking about that.
Uh-huh. Sure.
The fact that your dog killed your wife's favorite cat.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me feel like you probably actually were like, this dog has to go to fucking prison. They put together a fucking placard with a number on it, and they took a mugshot. Mm. Anyway, I don't know, Pennsylvania, you know? Fuck. So anyway, by the 1920s, the prison, which was meant to hold about 300 prisoners,
mm-hmm.
was built
300 now cells, about, right? 300 cells,
yep. And 300 cells.
Solitary.
And they right. had built, by the way, they had built some extra because it had gotten so popular. they had built more. And at some point there was at least one cell block that was built and designed. I read by prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the not good one.
We don't pay an architect.
So everyone's going to go so soft. Yeah. It's amazing. I didn't want to go down that rabbit hole, but like, mm-hmm. yeah, apparently there was one cell block that was designed and built by prisoners. So also not surprising, I guess, that over 100 people escaped from this prison.
While it was interesting. Yeah.
Christ. So it was designed to hold about 300 prisoners. By the 1920s, it held about 2,000 prisoners.
Oh, that's not good.
No, especially again, when I show you the rooms and the sizes, it's not good. Now, they did build some new rooms,
mm-hmm.
but many of the new rooms they built were underground.
Sure. That's where people love to live.
They love it. No windows, no light, no plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
These are the punishment rooms.
Oh.
And that's where they focus their attention.
Sure. Of course.
Yep. So they did decide that solitary confinement was about punishment after all. They were like, we were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The isolating prisoners is torture.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, this is a cool new way to torture people that we had not yet leaned into, but we really can now.
Who knew that this was like putting somebody in a closet for a month Christ. Was really effective.
And so they really lean in. In addition to solitary confinement, there were some other really terrible, torture, I don't know, situations. That's the wrong word. Listen, if you are adverse to hearing about how people really torture other people, maybe skip forward. I would say at least 60 seconds. There was a water bath where they would dunk inmates in a cold water bath, then hang them outside the wall outside the prison in winter until ice formed on their skin.
Oh, gosh.
There was the mad chair in which they
admittedly, that does sound like a very tech bro thing, doesn't it?
Go on, in what way?
I wake up at 5 a.m. I cover myself in water and I hang upside.
That they would do.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the polar plunge of...
absolutely, yeah.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
Dunk me in a bath and hang me outside the prison by my wrists until I have ice all over me.
It's how my entrepreneurial spirit begins each day.
That Zuck's whole deal for sure. And thank you to Patrick for extending this way beyond 60 seconds. I just want to apologize. Everyone. If anybody skipped in
another 60 seconds,
another 60 seconds, maybe, you know what? Another like 5 minutes, just to be safe. there was the mad chair in which they bound prisoners so tightly that they would cut off their circulation.
Oh.
They would do it for so long that almost always the inmates coming out of this chair needed to be amputated.
Oh,
because the worst. Their limbs had died.
Ugh, it's gross.
There was also an iron gag, which was a mouth collar that attached to the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And the collar was strapped below the inmate.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the inmate's hands behind the back.
Mm-hmm.
So if you moved at all, the collar would rip your tongue out.
Oh,
quite literally.
They've come so far so fast.
Oh, they really fucking went for it. Just like, this is Spanish Inquisition style shit. Like, this is like, they've gone back so far, like, amazing in the worst possible way. Like, this was, again, meant to be genuinely a place of
rehabilitation and rehab.
Didn't work, obviously, like the worst possible fucking way to do that. But like the idea of it, you know, the thought was it was there. They've leaned all the way in now. Like, now we're tortured. Fucking, we're an abattoir.
Yeah, this very much seems like a website. It doesn't quite, you know, make its metrics. And you're like, you know what? Fuck it. We're just gonna be this evil hackers from now on. That's it. I don't care. Yeah.
Now we're red hats, everybody, or black hats, or whatever you nerds call it. So it's going very badly. And meanwhile, the prison, like, no one's repairing the prison. No one's keeping it up. Like, they're just like, they're so focused on torture.
Yeah. No one's painting the tongue shackles. Like, none of these things are getting.
Yeah. It's flaking off. And now it's like, is there asbestos on this?
I'm sorry.
Like,
is that lead paint in my mouth?
Oh, no, thank
ripping
you.
My tongue out?
Thank you, sir.
No, sir.
Great. So by 1971, I mean, the prison, Eastern State Penitentiary, is officially fallen into total disrepair. This is intentional. I think this is not a mistake. Yeah.
The tongue thing isn't still going on in 1971, right?
Like, I don't know. I don't know, is what I can say. It started, all that shit started in, I think, at least the 1940s.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So it's not impossible. I don't know. It's a bad place. And so let's see. So by 1971, it's a disrepair, which is probably intentional because it's meant to be a bad place. Mm-hmm. So they closed the prison down.
Mm.
State of Pennsylvania says, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think we're out.
A bit of a money pit.
So they close it down, and it's abandoned for a long time, like at least 20 years. But in the 90s, there were some folks who were like, well, we should, like, it's a big space, and it's kind of like historically important, but bad.
Right. Yeah.
So there were some like really kind of difficult conversations about, like, what should we do with this thing?
Right. Should we hold wedding receptions here? What should we?
How much can we charge for that? Is it a premium because it's so weird? I think yes. So there's a lot of conversations about, like, should we demolish the whole place? Should we rehab it? And that was kind of the back and forth for a while, until someone said, hey, what if, and this is a crazy idea that actually I personally like a lot. Someone said, what if we just leave it how it is? Mm-hmm. Like, open it up as a museum.
Yeah. Like Alcatraz. Yeah.
Yes. And we do not touch a thing. Mm-hmm. And we show people, like, what the fuck is happening here.
Right.
And we don't fix it. We don't demolish it. We don't improve on it.
We only do wedding receptions on the Saturdays. That's it. No more.
We only do Mad Max themed wedding receptions. Is that okay? Can we do that?
Escape rooms on Tuesdays. And then when do you want to do receptions? Okay. I think we can make this work.
Amazing. Yeah.
Museums on Sunday afternoon. Yeah. Every other Sunday afternoon. It'll be fine. Yeah.
So they decided, okay, we'll do that. So they decided that in the 90s, they decided, instead of demolishing it or rehabbing it, they would make it like a living museum. Today it's still very bad. I'll show you some photos in a second. But they also, they make it so it's, I think it's owned or at least run by a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And a lot of their money comes from the fact they do apparently a killer, which I'm now, I should have a better word for that.
There's more words for that, by the way.
Yeah. Really, really, really good, haunted attraction at Halloween. Like, every review I've read has been like, it's great. Like, it's a haunted house. They do it up as a haunted house, but they're like, it is like the top notch. So they do a really good job. So go check it out if you can.
Okay.
They do that, but they also do ghost tours. They also do regular tours. Mm-hmm. This is what it looks like now. Let me. So here's one of the.
Oh my God! All right, so sure. It looks like this. This looks like it's been at the bottom of the ocean for 100 years, and they really just pulled it back like up.
If the Titanic were a torture chamber that went for a really long way,
right?
Yeah, this is one of the spokes of that wheel.
Sure.
Here's a side by side.
Right. Yeah. Very much got a Pompeii type vibe to it. And this is wonderful. I like this.
It really is. So, so on the left here, you see, obviously, of course, like the hallway with some door open. But here is the size of the room.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's just a
bunker. So how much now in New York with a similarly sized outdoor space? What do you think? No windows, I will say. There's some skylights.
Okay. I can see your 2300 number now. I can.
But certainly no less than 2300.
Yeah, definitely no less. Yeah.
You can obviously fit a twin size bed frame in there. So 2300. Yeah.
You don't have to shower on the bed frame if you don't want to.
Speaking of, so here is the plumbing.
Uh-huh.
So here's the door, by the way.
Yeah, it's a very nice toilet.
Okay.
I guess. Yeah. And then is that like little nozzle on the wall where you wash your ass?
I think this is shower.
Okay.
I don't know. So what we're looking at here is
this place goes from zero to mold like by 11 o'clock in the morning.
Nice. We're looking at a cell from the back of the cell toward the door. So you see, it's hard to tell, but the door is short.
Right.
Of course. To duck in because of penitence stuff. I'm not sure. I think this is the toilet.
That's got to be toilet, and then radiator next to it for the heat.
And then central heat.
And then
I don't know if there's a shower. I guess a shower. I don't know.
Maybe that's where the cable comes in. It's bad. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. And then cable is what they.
And then four light switches on the wall. I'm not sure what they do. I'm not entirely sure what you need four light switches on the wall for.
It's a bright light, dim light, high shock, low shock.
It's for the testicles. Yes. And this one over here, I haven't switched it before, but I'm thinking about it.
I've been here a long time, and I think I'm ready. But you'll notice, of course, like there's no, except for this very small doorway, there's no like path to the outside. No. And when they close the door, there's no bars. Like it's very solitary. It's quite bad. So that's the prison. Wouldn't be too expensive in New York. Probably more than I'm paying for this place here in Virginia, but still, you know. Okay, so over the course of its 142 years, Eastern State Penitentiary held about 75,000 inmates.
Oh my gosh.
And one of those inmates was Alphonse Capone.
Oh.
Which I feel like is so different. It's, you know, this is legitimate. You lived in Chicago for a while, so you know, like, every fucking, you know, Capone was, you know, did his whole thing in Chicago. Every single building or business that existed in, like, 1930 in Chicago claims that Al Capone went there.
Of course.
And certainly he did not. But within the whole Chicagoland area, like, within 100 miles of Chicago, you've always, like, hotels and bars and restaurants are like, oh, and Al Capone loved to come here. It's like, you are a 3-hour drive from from his old deal. I don't think
this is Aurora. I'm pretty sure Al Capone did not like coming out to Aurora at any point.
Doesn't feel right. But he did actually go into the cell in the Eastern State Penitentiary. I think he was arrested, if I remember correctly from my research, on carrying a concealed gun, which today would be like normal, totally fine in most places. And he spent 8 months there in 1829 to 1830. And I have a picture of his cell. And before I show you, I'll just say the people were like, oh, you gave Al Capone
the nice one,
the nice cell. And the warden was like, absolutely not. We would never do that. We didn't do it. Here was his cell.
It has upholstery. What the fuck?
So it's the same size as the other cells.
It absolutely is. Yes. Yeah. But there's a rug.
But there's a rug. There are several very nice lamps. There's a writing desk. Yeah. There are sheets on a bed. Like, okay.
This is the one that the warden stays in. There's a radio in the back. What the hell?
So this was was Capone's cell, and they've left it there. You know, to their credit, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know who stayed there after he was gone, but this was his whole deal. Yeah.
Now and this I could see spending several years.
It's so small still. I don't know. It's so small. I've lived in some really small places in Chicago, and this is so small. This is actually the size of the bedroom that you made me sleep in when you and Scott and I lived together. Logan Square.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Now you have a writing desk.
Now you didn't pay no $2,300 for that, but again,
that's true.
Northwest Chicago, it's a little different. Yeah. So.
Logan Square at that time was a little dicey, but anyway, so that was Al Capone. So there's a lot of human torture happening, obviously. So it's not at all surprising to learn the Eastern State Penitentiary is in fact haunted. One particularly interesting story comes from a man named Gary Johnson, who helps. I don't know if he works there still, but it was until pretty recently. He helps maintain locks in the prison.
Okay.
It's a living museum, but they want to like keep everything kind of, you know.
Sure.
Functional. From getting worse.
Right.
And so that's his job, is locks. And in the early 90s, Gary was working on a lock in cell block 4 when he was gripped by a force that held him so tightly he could not move. Ooh. He said later that a negative, horrible energy exploded out of the cell. And then he saw tormented faces appearing on the cell walls. Ooh. One of those faces beckoned him to come inside.
Oh.
Now, he did not.
Oh, well, never mind.
Does sound like he could have gotten laid. cell block 12, which is kind of newer, I think, is known for disembodied laughter.
That
happens throughout the whole hall. Cell block 6 has shadowy figures that slide along the walls. There is one ghost in particular who's been seen quite a few times. He is a shadowy form who stands perfectly still until you get a few feet away from him. Then he rushes at you, screaming, then disappears.
Not fair.
It's not fair at all. There's also a man silhouette that is sometimes seen inside one of the guard towers, even though the tower is sealed off. But people see him pacing back and forth. And even the ghost of Pep the dog has been seen and heard.
Okay. Good. I've been waiting.
The prison. Yep. Pep is still there doing his thing. And God love Pep. And that is the story of Eastern State Penitentiary. If you want to go there, they still are open for tours. They do the Halloween thing I mentioned, which apparently is quite good. If you're interested in that, please go. Sure. Looks terrifying.
Yeah. For the haunted house thing, they don't do that thing where it's like the two inflatable cushions you have to walk through with your face.
No, good question. Good question. I think their whole thing is called like something like Voices Through the Walls, and they do. I don't know. I don't know the details, but like everyone, every review I've read has been like, this has been like a very unsettling experience good and not, like very different.
Yeah, not like chainsaw heavy type. Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there may be chainsaws, but it's not like don't rely on the chainsaws, which I think is important. So that is the story of Eastern State Penitentiary in Pennsylvania. Do you want to go?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Do you?
No, I really don't.
Can we bring up one of our Facebook fans? Pretty recently, actually, brought the fact that in some episodes. Actually, Patrick, you say things like, I would never go there.
Right.
Even though you claim to be a skeptic. Do you want to speak to that?
I don't really like going places. So, I mean,
okay. I guess that's true.
You could also be like, do you want to go to this random place in the woods in Wisconsin that isn't haunted at all? No, probably not. I'm really busy.
Do you want to go to Manhattan to see a Broadway show? Nah, I don't. I don't think so.
A flight, and then what if the flight's late in this... Right, an Uber from JFK is kind of a pain in the dick. So
cavalier about all this, but I don't know. I think they were onto something. And you you know, you claim to not believe in ghosts, but you seem pretty pretty unsettled by some of these stories. So I don't believe.
I'm a skeptic, but at heart, also pretty lazy. So there's those two things together.
Okay, all
right. It's a tag team. It's a tag team right there.
We're gonna keep pulling back those layers. Anything else, Pat, about this? Any thoughts about this prison?
No, it's not this one in particular. It seems pretty exciting.
Well, great. This has been another episode of Is This a Ghost? We are a production of Smith Show Media. All the notes were taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were given by Patrick Dean. I guess
graciously.
Yeah. our audio editor is usually Jeremy Montoya. He is on break and
he is screaming right now. He is screaming.
But I'm sorry, Jerry. I'm sorry. Right, I'm sorry about what I've done to this. Please come back. We need you. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media manager is Kai Valonis. And I don't know. I guess don't go to prison.
Definitely not.
Is the moral of the story? Because if you do, I don't know. There's a solid chance you'll show up as the next ghost on Is This a Ghost?